Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Hey, by the way, our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. We really appreciate that opening and closing for our show.
The amazing Billy and Renee.
They are so great. Hey, our underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and our landlord, Walt Breitinger of Paragon Investments. You know, if you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic technical building, call Walt at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. We'd like to thank them for their generous support. We always like to give a shout out to Greg Kovach, our station manager, for getting us on the air.
Yay, Greg.
You know, Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. So we appreciate that. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, or even appear on the thing, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Love to hear from you, and we'll put you on our arts calendar, and it'll be great.
Yeah, please email.
Yeah, so make our job a little easier putting that together. And we do put that on online on our webpage, and so you can see that the arts events even after we broadcast. Hey, our program, along with all of our programs, we do stream live at WVLP.org. Art on the Air is also rebroadcast on the station Monday at 5 p.m. If you want to listen to any of our past shows, you can be heard at breck.com/AOT. That's Breck, BREC.com/AOTA. And that also has our detailed arts events calendar there, too. Hey, our shows are also being carried by WIUN Red Hawk Radio at IU Northwest, and so we appreciate that. So now we'd like to talk to you just briefly about supporting the station. We like to do this every week because, you know, we have lots of listeners, individual listeners and things, and if you specifically live this show, we'd love for you to become a supporter anything. Esther and I would just really like that. Art in the Air would be kind of something you want to support directly. You can find out information about that at WVLP.org/support. We have underwriter levels in a whole range of areas. You'll be mentioned not only on our show, but throughout the broadcast day, and we really appreciate it. So, you know, don't just be a listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you can. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting WVLP and, of course, Art on the Air. So now we're going to move to our arts calendar, and I'm going to start with Porter County. Valparaiso University Center for the Arts, Brower Museum, they had their opening for Betty Duke's Social Justice Revisited, Remembering, Reliving, Resting. Then we had Sue Kwok in the other part of the gallery doing Cosmic Light Series, and then Mark Flesher, Walking Turtle, Whispering Pines. They do have an event coming up on Wednesday, September 25th at 7 p.m. It's going to be a gallery talk with Sue Kwok about her series. And later on October 3rd, there'll be a whole music event tied with the gallery, so if you have a chance to see that. Village Gallery at the Village Pines, and they're going to be doing Valparaiso University's Junior Art Major Exhibit, and it's curated by the one and only Richard Brower, who actually lives there. And they'll be opening on Sunday, September 29th at 1:30 through November 14th. You can also visit there, see the art, and also meet some of the young artists there from Valparaiso University. Chesterton Art Center. Well, they are continuing Laurel Izard and Edwin Shelton. Their exhibit goes there. They have two distinct approaches for expressionism. They'll be running through September 27th. And by the way, if you do anything, they sell anything, 25% of the sale will go to UGLY, which is a wonderful organization that supports preventing bullying and things like that. So that's it. Herm Helms Sunflower Workshop starts September 24th. I think they have a few openings left in the class, and that's going to run for several weeks. So contact them about that. And Stained Glass continues. Mark Vanderwine always does his critique night on the first Wednesday of the month. And they have lots of new children classes from preschool all the way through high school and things like that. Art Barn, well, this weekend is the third annual annual Art Blitz. And that's September 21st and 22nd. It's an outdoor exhibition of regional artists. They'll be doing outdoor plein air painting. You listen to live music. There's artist booths, ceramic making, a whole something for everyone in the family. So that's at Art Barn, and that's in Valparaiso. Information is on our events page. Depot Museum and Art. We'll continue with Painting Inside Out by Pat Herman. She had her opening on the 13th, and that will continue through October 6th. So they do that. And it's if you don't know where that is, the depot is a little depot there right on Beverly Shores on US 12. The Ellen Firm Gallery, Matt Kubik, the architect, professor, travel curator, he's going to go there. He had his opening on September 13th, and he will continue there till October 8th.
I just saw the exhibit. It's really charming.
I haven't had a chance to get there yet.
It's
so
really interesting.
It's been a crazy life for both of us and getting out and doing stuff.
I know.
Yeah. But anyway, you can see that. And that's, again, at the that's just down this road from the this depot, so if you missed it there. This weekend also, September 21st in Thomas Centennial Park, and actually on Broadway itself in Chesterton, is the 8th Annual Hooked on Art Festival. There's food, music. It goes right along with the European market there. It's a great activity. There's kid activity, and there'll be paint, chalk painting on the street. Hopefully it doesn't rain. We knock on wood. So that's going on there.
Memorial,
it's going to be wonderful. Memorial Opera House is going to be presenting Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap. They're in rehearsal for it right now. It opens September 27th. They'll be going through October 13th. And the thing I always remark about that, if at least as long as the copyright it holds, Agatha Christie has prohibited motion pictures or television ever doing The Mousetrap. Now, when it goes public domain, she won't have that control. Roots Organic Cafe in Valparaiso has 35 photos of Ken Christensen for the month of September and October. And they will have an opening reception on Saturday, September 28th from 2 to 4. And they'll actually have a violinist there playing. And finally, Dig the Dunes. Well, you know, it's time again for the annual calendar, for the 2020 calendar. So there's submissions. You can find that on their Facebook page, Dig the Dunes, or online. They're also looking for individual calendars page sponsors. So if you'd like to sponsor an entire page of the calendar, you can do so. Information is there.
That's a great idea.
It is. It is. I know.
So is it only photographs, or is it paintings also at the dunes?
So far, they've only taken photographs, and generally they're focused on dunes images. I know I had one in for July last year, so. But anyway, yeah, it's kind of fun. So Eve does a great job with Dig the Dunes.
Yeah.
So, well, that's what we have for Porter County. What is going on in LaPorte County?
Kind of light in LaPorte County, I think, this week. But in LaPorte, we have the Thaddeus C. Gallery in downtown LaPorte. Lubesnik Center for the Arts, they have the exhibit The Chicago Imagists Before and After, and that exhibit runs through October 19th and is showing in all three galleries. Joel Brussel is in the NIPSCO Small Education Room for the month of September, and his exhibit is called Little Worlds from the Big Lake. Rising Phoenix Gallery, their exhibit is Petals, Waves, and Wings, the Pastels and Watercolors by Mary Ann Pals. SFC Gallery is exhibiting the paintings of Nathan Biancardi. Southern Shore Art Association, their exhibit is titled Your Best Shot, and that closes September 29th, and it was curated by my co-host, Larry Breckner, and I'm going to try to go see it today, I hope, it closes. Blink Contemporary Art is exhibiting the new work of Suzanne Cohen Lang and Rick Lang. Nest is exhibiting the work of Robert Serco in an exhibit called Me, Myself, and Eyes, Recent Paintings and Drawings. And let's see, tomorrow, Saturday, September 21st, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent at 7 p.m. All ages, all talents. It's vaudeville meets show and tell meets open mic. Sunday, September 22nd, we have an artist talk about the current exhibit with Greg Hertzlieb. He'll be filling in for Robert. So if you've heard Greg talk about anything, it's not to be missed because he is so interesting and fascinating. And
great, and the former host on this show.
And a former host.
Yes.
Yeah. He's fabulous.
Who actually gives us really good shout-outs. He really enjoys what we're doing, too.
Yeah, and he's a personal friend of Robert's, so I'm sure he'll be you know, sharing his insights and personal stories, yeah. And it should be a really lovely afternoon. And I think that's at 2 p.m.? I'm pretty sure it's at 2 p.m. So Thursday, September 26th, we continue with Tai Chi. Sunday, September 29th, we have Sham in Concert. Look them up. They are so much fun. We're so excited. That's at 7 p.m. Thursday, October 3rd, the My Past Storytelling. It's an open house with Robert Batten. Friday, October 4th, the 5th annual Michigan City Video Fest at 7 p.m. And then we have like a whole list of interesting things happening. Please look at that fabulous webpage that Larry put up with all the activities. And for more of our events, look at the Nest Michigan City Facebook page. And that's what's going on.
Oh,
you know, I do want to say, like, November 30th, Billy and Renee Foster and I are putting together a jazz fest that we hope to do more than once a year. So if you're interested in jazz, please contact one of us. Send your interest in so that you can become involved in making this come to fruition for us.
Jeffrey Brown. I actually talked to Jeffrey about, you know, being a guest on the show, but he's also played with Billy. He has his own trio, but they both have helped each other out. He'd be another great one to be part of that thing. So
yeah, we need to
help
with promoting it. And yes, so
well, that's what we got going in LaPorte County. Yeah, still quite a bit go. Lake County, well, we have the 119th Street Artists. Well, they have closed their exhibit. However, for just one little last kind of hurrah, on September 24th, they're doing a paint pour class at the Comfort Roast Coffee House Cafe at 119th Street in Whiting. So there's information still on their Facebook page, which is still active. So you can find out information about that, or you can also look them up online. 119th Street Artists. They're this thing will be kind of like some of the last hurrahs. I just talked to Caitlin, who was the president of it. But anyway, they're using some of their last supplies and everything for a final hurrah, I guess. Studio 659, they still have their call for art that's going to end on September 20th. It's called Bump in the Night. It's their Halloween-themed show, and it's everything. There's current exhibits still hanging, but it will be down pretty soon. Metropolitan, Studio 659 summer exhibit, and that opened. It'll be going through September until they put up Bump in the Night. So that's what we're doing. So anyway, that's what's going on. And South Shore Arts, we have that. It's the Bachman Gallery. They're opening their salon show on Sunday, September. It actually went up on September 14th, so this weekend on the 22nd will be their reception for that. That was curated by David Clayman, Dean of Arts at IUN. The Atrium Gallery is still showing Bob Palomari Straight Shooters Photography through September. So you can see that's coming down, this coming weekend. So Toll Theater still has Annika Dedeker, Between the Real and Imagined. Cafe Fresco, Joel Tomaszak, Then and Now. And they'll be running through November 10th. And he does like these wonderful bird realistic portraits on wood panels. Well, if you almost have a chance to get it there's one more day left on the 61 exhibit. It's about the 61st National Park. Where's the 61st National Park? It's right on your doorstep, the Dunes National Park. In fact, I just heard from Justin Rhea, who is associated with that. He's saying that the number of people coming to the state park and has grown tremendously just because of the national park status. So, but anyway, this is celebrates all the different stops along the way. It's very kid friendly. Everything the Chelberg Farm, Bailey Homestead, Cullsbarg. You can see different things. Play in the Sandbox, Mount Baldy. It's all right there. But only there for two more days after this weekend. It's gone. Michigan Beach Arts and Creative District will feature the photography of Marty Bond. 75 of her photographs from Nepal, India, Cuba, Morocco, and that'll be running through October 6th, and that's Miller Beach Creative District. You can find out information online. South Lake Artist Cooperative, commonly known as SLAC. Well, they're just about ready to close out their China Cat Sunflower at SIP Coffee House number 2 in Highland, and they're going to install their texture there. Texture is going to be in Crown Point, found and then it's only found on Facebook. They're also taking their information submissions for Word through September 23rd, and their new exhibit, Crackle, through October 14th. Details are on their Facebook page. Finally, Theater at the Center, at the Center for Visual and Performing Arts in Munster. They opened the Pajama Game this past weekend. They'll be running through October 13th. It's one of the musicals that actually really projected Bob Fosse and Gwen Verdon into really true stardom. And it's a great show set kind of in the 50s, so it's definitely a period piece. So that's what we got going on there. So if you want to be on that list, if you want to be part of our thing or want to be on the air, remember, you can email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. And you are listening to Art on the Air right here and also being heard on WIUN Red Hawk Radio.
Yay.
We thank you. And we're looking to expand. I've had conversations with another station recently about maybe carrying us. So
that's good.
Well, we are very happy to have our guest here today. I've known him kind of for years. I've seen his work up close and personal when I was working at the Center for Vision Performing Arts and everything, and I'm just blown away by.
So were you there for that the exhibit in 97, was it?
Yes, yeah. I was there. I saw it being installed.
Wow.
His dad, who recently just passed away, but I remember him helping him install the exhibit, and I remember that whole thing. It was so fantastic. So we'd like to welcome Michael Celich here. He's a native Indiana. We'll let him tell you a bit, but to describe his work, if you want to go back to like the Renaissance, Baroque masters, really photorealistic and very, very moving, and he does portraiture and everything and a whole wide variety of things. So we'll let Michael tell us a little bit. So welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you.
Welcome.
And so tell us a little about where you grew up. We'll start with that. Like where you grew up, where you went to high school, where you studied, and everything like that.
Sure. I grew up in Munster, Indiana, basically when I was 4 years old. And then after high school, I went to the American Academy of Art for 2 years. And I studied figure drawing and fundamentals class, which everybody had to take, and also a little watercolor with Irving Shapiro when he was teaching there at the time. During that, actually when I was in high school, I found out about another school that was training artists in classical methods of drawing and painting. And actually the school was kind of a combination of academic realism and impressionism. They tried to merge the two together. And the man who ran the park, Wolf Park, was actually the brother-in-law of a man named Richard Lack. And Richard Lack was the man who ran the school, this classical art school in Minnesota. So I had the pleasure of spending a summer in Wolf Park, taking care of the wolf pups. I was a wolf mother at the time, and along with several other people. And I had a chance to really learn about the animals. I actually was very interested in becoming a wildlife artist. And the man who ran the park, Eric Klinghammer, he saw my work. He spoke at a dunes, at the Indiana Dunes at nighttime, and we met him there for the first time. So that's when I first met him.
So this was during high school that this happened? Oh, wow. How fabulous.
Yeah. And then from that encounter, he saw my work and said, you really need to study the animals, learn more about their behavior and what they're really like. So I thought that was great advice, and that's why I went there. At the time, then, I was presented with some material that they had, Eric and his daughter, about the school up in Minnesota. So I kept the information about the school, and the training really appealed to me. It was very traditional and rigorous. And so I just held on to the information, and later when I went to the American Academy, I showed it to my life drawing teacher, Fred Berger. And Fred was a fantastic figure painter.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with his work?
I am, yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, yeah. He's very, very powerful.
I like that whole monster roster artist group.
Wow.
I think they're very interesting.
How did you know them then? How did you come by them?
Because I had a very good friend who should have been in that group, but was, surrounded by all those artists.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately, I was fortunate to have had the opportunity to work with him, and I showed him the information about the school, and he was very supportive of me, going there. So so I went to Minnesota for 4 years, and it was very intense training. And as I said before, it was a school where they blended both academic and impressionistic methods of training. The first 2 years, actually, I only worked in black and white. Black and white drawing for the first year, figure drawing and cast drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And the following year was you start getting into black and white painting. And they kept you drawing all 4 years, but after that we start getting into color. still life, and then final year portraiture. Mm-hmm. So it was a very thorough background. And so I took that training, and also with my experience at the American Academy, where I learned a lot about design and composition, especially through the fundamentals program with Robert Krajewski and Dale.
Oh, yeah. Dale Popovich. We've had him on the show.
So Dale, the two of them taught a great fundamentals class there. And so I learned a lot about design, which I was later to incorporate into my classical training that I got there, too.
So in Minnesota, is that where you studied anatomy in depth then? Is that, or do you think that was more at the Academy of Art?
More through Fred Berger. Yeah, because he was an expert in anatomy. And Fred stressed the importance of, you know, using anatomy expressively. Of course, he also taught the knowledge of it too, you know. So it was a combination of Fred's influence and also self-study. So both of them. And I actually, on one of my paintings, I had to do quite a number of figures. And I had to do several sculptures, you know, for that I actually used as reference in the painting.
Okay.
And doing those sculptures actually really strengthened my knowledge. There's nothing like working three-dimensionally to strengthen your understanding of form. And so I got a bunch of muscle magazines, and actually female muscle magazines, because when you look at the male, you know, muscle magazines, they're so out of proportion.
You're right.
That sometimes you can't identify what the muscles are. You know, they're just crazy.
Yeah.
So I use the female muscle magazines to, you know, develop these sculptures. And that's, I learned a lot just through doing that, too.
So. Right. And now, did you teach for a period of time at the American Academy? Or
no. A friend of mine and I, Bruno Cerdo, began a school in Chicago.
All right.
Yeah. We basically had the same type of program that we were taught under in Minnesota. And we also brought in some of the experiences that we had at the American Academy, especially the emphasis on composition and quick sketches.
Right.
Because at the school in Minnesota, which was called the Telialac, they didn't do quick sketches. And it was just very prolonged drawings, which was wonderful. You know, it was great. But both Bruno and I felt that just that kind of intense focus on just copying one thing over a long period of time could lead to work being a little stiff looking and unnatural. So we thought it was important that students had the opportunity to do quick sketches along with a long prolonged drawing so that there was a balance. And I think it really helped the students.
Jumping back in your history, though, we kind of missed this. Like, where did you grow up and went to school? I mean, like high school, and so you're from?
Sure, Munster High School.
Yeah. Okay. What year did you graduate?
82.
Okay.
82. So we've been around for a while.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't get there until I was 98, so.
Yeah. So during that time, I outside of high school, I was also training with Alice Phillips. I was a wonderful oil painter, and Kathy Lose Rathburn, watercolorist.
I'm trying to get her on the show, but she's too shy to do that. Yeah. I've been trying to bend her because she's a longtime friend of mine also, and just don't think she'll get in front of a microphone and talk. Though she's very talkative, but I don't think she'll do a microphone.
Right. Well, she was a great teacher.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
And she still does. She teaches out of her home. She's got a whole little studio that she does.
Yeah, she's got a great organization, you know, with her classes and so it was actually she who told me to seek out Robert Krajewski, who was a very tough teacher.
Right.
And I took her advice on that. So it was good advice.
So now you've done, what would you describe your main art style as?
It's realism.
Yeah.
And because I've had some of the experience with Impressionism, as a result of the school, I do try to bring in more impressionistic color, not on all my work for certain, but
yeah, that's what I wanted to touch on. The Lack is like, I would like to talk about the Lack for a little, you know,
Richard Lack's work.
Yeah. It's really, And so what informs your palate then? So if you're studying 18th century France, how is that palate different than like 18th century Italy or Britain? I mean, like what has informed your, do you stick to like a certain palate?
It depends on the type of painting. And in regards to, you know, the comparing different types of painting during that period, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to do that. My knowledge is not, you know, strong enough there. But in terms of my painting, I'll use a little bit more of a limited palette if I'm doing some type of figurative work. Mm-hmm. When it comes to painting the figure, it's better to have a limited range of colors to work with than when I'm working outdoors.
Yeah, because it's very outdoors, bright. Your work has a beautiful brightness and light to it, whereas Kai Konstantinov, I don't know if you know her work also. Hers is a darker, more somber palette, and she also does medieval work.
And she uses egg tempera that she does herself, tempera, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, you're right. It's very, very, very dark. It's still in kind of the classic form, but
completely,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, you could take your work, I think, and take it back centuries to the Renaissance Baroque period. I mean, one I was always struck by was your Jesus washing the feet. And I remember you told me you took people's faces. I think one of them was your dad's face in
right.
there. Mm-hmm. And you identified the different people in there. It's a beautiful portrait, you know.
Thank you.
And that's, of course, done on oil and everything.
I love the figurative work so much.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I love your figurative work.
Thank you. Really, thank you very much. That piece was done early after I got back from my training in Minnesota, and it was commissioned by Bruce Leap.
Right.
And he wanted a religious subject. And so he gave me several different choices, and I really thought this one had a great chance for, you know, doing some narrative, figurative expression. So many of the people that are in the background were actually working in the warehouse, including a UPS driver who
turned
out being Judas in this picture, actually. Yeah, since UPS damaged some of my artwork, I felt like that was a good place.
Oh, there you go.
So, and then of course my father found his place in there too. I kind of an interesting story. Up in front, there's a figure of Saint Peter who's having his feet washed. And his boss, he told his boss that he couldn't shave his beard and mustache because he was, you know, sitting for a portrait for a figurative painting, and his boss didn't believe him, so he had to drag his boss in to see it, and so of course the boss saw it, but then I ended up bringing his boss into the picture too. So,
well, that was good politics.
Yes. Yeah, right.
Excellent. Now, when you work with like faces like that, do you work from a photograph or something like that, just so you have a reference? I mean, obviously you look at it, but I mean, do you work from like a photograph to start with?
It depends on their place in the picture.
Right.
And what I mean by that is if they're a prominent figure,
right,
I will try to do a study from life.
Okay.
I'll do maybe several drawings, and then I'll do a study in color from the model, because I want all the beauty of the natural coloring right from nature, directly from nature. And I think that's one of the reasons there's something of a luminosity that I'm able to achieve in my work. It's just strictly from, you know, my training.
Sure.
In both in values and in color, that I'm able to achieve that kind of quality. In the background figures, much of those were done from photographs.
Okay.
So did you arrange them, and were they all in the room at the same time?
No.
And did you like...
Same room. I did a lot of preliminary studies.
It's so natural looking, like they were in the room.
Yeah.
All together.
I did a lot of preliminary studies for that, including actually made the room itself and hung a little light inside the room and painted, you know, a study of the room, and then use that study for the final painting. So never altogether, but I did I did draw them together in a large study.
Sure.
But I never had them in the room studying, you know, be very costly, by the way.
You're listening to Michael Chelich on WVLP's Art on the Air, also on Red Hawk Radio, WIUN. So what was this an actual room someplace, Michael?
Well, it was actually a small diorama that I built.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, maybe about 2 by 2 feet. So
excellent.
Yeah.
And then some of your other figurative work. Well, one I'm going to jump to is your I think it's called the Monolith. I saw that. That was exhibited in 97.
You know, I don't even remember if it was first exhibited at Valparaiso University.
Okay.
And then later, maybe even that year, it was exhibited in
the Bachman Gallery, yeah. Because I remember you installing it and everything, and I was just so fascinated by that. I mean, just to try to describe it, and maybe you can do it better than I, is like these guys, you call them Blockmen, becoming the Blockmen, right?
Well, the painting is called Monolith, and the painting is about man's struggle against the dehumanizing institutions that we sometimes create. And
has a Metropolis feel to it.
It does. Yes, it really does. Metropolis was a movie, an old movie, a German, right?
Right.
Yes.
And I saw the movie after after I painted it, and I was just amazed by how much it, you know, resembled it.
Well, it just goes, these struggles have, you know, they've been around for a long time.
Yeah, and I think what was kind of neat about it, it wasn't only the look of it, but it was also the story of it.
Yeah,
very similar. It was amazing. But in any case, what's in the picture are a group of, it's a large wall, and when you start looking closer, you realize that the wall is made up of people. And if you start looking even closer still, it's an industrial, you know, setting. You see that even the industrial setting itself is made up of people. So everything is just, you know, these blockheads. And there's a group of figures up in the front that are trying to break it apart. They see it as a threat, you know, not only to their own lives, but to the people who will become part of it as well. And these people have lost their identity, they've lost their souls, and it's really about slavery in a way. You know, they've become slaves to a system that has become detrimental to their lives.
But even in the painting, the people who are fighting it are, you know, they're being taken in by it as well. They can't completely avoid what they're trying to destroy.
Right, and the main figure, if you look closely at his leg, you can see it starting to turn, you know, the shade of the wall, you know, the color of the wall itself, because he's trying to, you know, break it, trying to, you know, break it down. But many times, you know, when social reformers try to change things, once they get into a position of power themselves, they become, you know, corrupted by the power and what you have to do to maintain power, you know, in a system, even when you're trying to bring about change.
No.
Or sometimes these people, you know, who are supposedly there to bring about change were actually brought in by the system in the first place,
right,
you know, to lead people down another rosy path, which leads back to the same way that they were resisting
against. It's a commentary that still works for today in many ways.
Yeah.
Boy, you need
What do they say? For the greater good?
Greater
right?
good, yeah. You really need to exhibit this again. I just know, because
how tall is it?
It's 11 by 14 feet.
11 by 14.
I know it was huge. I just remember watching it being installed, because that's at the time I was working at the center in the theater. So
makes me sad I only went up 10 feet for my my walls. I certainly have the length, but I only go to 10 feet.
When I was first coming up with the designs for it, I'd taken a photograph of a smaller sketch of it and put the slide of it in the slide machine.
Right.
And I projected it to see how large I would like to make it. And further back I got, the more and more I liked it. And I just, at that point, I decided I have to do this really, really large.
How long did it take you to do that piece? I mean,
To paint it. It took a year and 4 months.
Wow.
Did you chart how much paint it took?
I didn't, but it was a lot.
I bet it was a lot.
Yeah. It was, I was amazed
how
that I finished
many miles it. Did you paint?
Yes. Right, right.
It's absolutely amazing. If you want to see some of his work, you can go to chelichfineart.com or mm-hmm. yeah, chelichfineart.
Excuse me, that's Chelich Studio.
Oh, sorry.
Chelichstudio.com.
Okay, there we go. And you can see all his work. And which brings us to the other thing, the portraits you've done. You've done portraits of some rather prominent people. Mm-hmm. And so tell us a little bit about that.
Well, early on, after I got out of school in Minnesota, I was awarded the chance to paint Governor Evan Bayh, and then later Governor O'Bannon, and then... And then in another competition, I was had the privilege of painting Senator Lugar. It was a very great pleasure. And also had the pleasure of painting several Purdue chancellors in the area and judges from the U.S. courts in Hammond. And most recently, Brent Dixon, a former Supreme Court Justice in Indianapolis. So...
And if you see these portraits, they are just classically beautiful. And again, you can see it at the website and things like that. So when you work with folks like this who are fairly busy, mm-hmm. Do you have a period that you sit with them and you do like a life sketch or something like that first?
Yeah, right. And it depends on the individual. I try to encourage them to sit for me because I can get more beautiful coloring. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't always work out, but... I've had the opportunity to do that for the governors and for Senator Lugar and also for the two chancellors that I've painted, Chancellor Cohen and Chancellor Dworkin at Purdue University. So they've usually come in for about 5 or 7 sessions. Sometimes I'll travel to a location that is closer to them, and I'll do a pastel study. In the past, when it came to color studies, I did them in oil paint, mm-hmm. and over time, I learned that doing pastel studies was much faster,
right?
And I got much better quality in the coloring, and after that, I just never looked back. I just always did my studies in pastel, so...
And, you know, I noticed as I'm actually looking at Michael's work here.
I know, me too. I love these still lives so much.
Well, and I'm looking at the portraits, and there is differences, like this one with this girl is Charlotte, which mm-hmm. I assume is a sister or daughter?
My daughter. That's not my daughter. That's my niece.
Niece. Yeah. And that has a little more of an impressionistic style, in mm-hmm. my saying, where some of them are just up on the edge of being photorealistic mm-hmm. at times. And so I can see they're... Some of the portraits are quite different in their rendering and everything, and so my gosh, and it's like you have to go see.
So in the 17th century family portrait, is that your family?
That's a family down in Texas, and that was quite a project. It took me close to a year to paint that one. I had to travel down to Texas to, you know, meet with the family, of course.
Sure.
And then I do what I always do. I do lots of preliminary studies to work out the composition. And then I took lots of photographs of the kids and decided upon, you know, gestures and basic facial expressions which were going to work best. Mm-hmm. And I always present the results of my work to the client before I start the actual painting, because I want to make sure that they're in full agreement with it. You know, no surprises when it comes to commissions. And then I also did studies of their house, you know, on the interior of their house.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. Is that their rug, or is it just an
that rug was made up. Okay. They had a very, very ornate Oriental rug, and it was just, first of all, it didn't look good with the composition I was working on, and second of all, it was a little bit too complex, mm-hmm. Times 10, and I actually made that rug up in my own studio. So I actually had all those kids kind of as mannequins in my studio so I could work from their clothes, which is what I do on many portraits. Not all of them, but many portraits I'll build mannequins and arrange them as they'll appear in the final composition and paint directly from life. Mm-hmm. So I did that on that painting as well.
Yeah, what a masterpiece.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, everything on there is a masterpiece, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, I've been familiar with Michael's work for a few years, but, you know, now reviewing it once again, it's just like, it's just tremendous. And again, the website is?
CelichStudio.com, C-H-E-L-I-C-H, CelichStudio.com.
And actually, if you go to this thing on the homepage where Michael is, I have a link there, so you can just click on that and go see his work, which we would encourage you to do. Now, you do look, we mentioned before the show, you're looking for commissions. I mean, you're available to do that.
Right. I've been doing commissions, portraits, still lives, landscapes, figurative works. And most recently, I've been doing children's books, so a variety of different things.
Right, and we're going to get into that in just a second. So they can contact you through your website if they're interested in doing that.
I think the best way is michaelcelich@hotmail.com.
Okay.
That'd be the best way.
All right, and I'll make sure I'll put that. I think that email, I'll put that on the link also, so they can click on that and get a hold of you. Because if you're interested in having a classic portrait done or classic any of the work done, this is a kind of art that you know, you don't see too much today. I mean, this type of thing is, you know, people have gone off in a lot of directions, but this is really something that's kind of rare today.
I have to say it's starting to come back.
It's been coming back for
some time.
Yeah. I would say like in the last 3 years, probably.
Yeah.
Especially.
I might even say 10 years. It's been coming on. And I don't know what type of recognition it's getting in museums.
Right.
I really don't, but it certainly is becoming more prominent. Mm-hmm. So
that's tremendous. Well, before we get into what you've done, you worked on previous children's books with James Dworkin.
Correct.
And you illustrated that. So tell us a little bit about that history of what you worked with him.
Okay. Well, I was doing a portrait of Chancellor James Dworkin for Purdue University, and we had a nice conversations whenever we got together for the portrait studies. And after the portrait was done, he presented me with the idea of doing a children's book that he had worked on. And it was about a dog and a dolphin that he actually witnessed, an interaction between the two of them. So that later developed into a book, of course, A Dog and a Dolphin. That was the first book. And then Jim had another follow-up called The Dog and a Jet Ski, which is actually it has a dolphin again. The dolphin reappears. But the idea of the book was a result of Jim having seen a dog on a jet ski. And he was rescued from the water. And so without going into it too much, Jim introduced the dolphin into the story as well, and kind of had a nice story to it. After that, we worked together on Red's Nature Adventure, and that book was actually sponsored by the Shirley Hines Land Trust, and that they preserve lots of lands throughout Northwest Indiana for the wildlife and plant life that's there. And it was a very interesting job. Had to do a lot of photography on site of their locations. And the purpose of the book was to introduce to children what their mission is, what they're trying to do, in putting aside land for nature, and at the same time making it available for people to come out and visit and see and, you know, learn about the natural world. So it was something that was right up my alley in terms of my interests, and it was probably the most beautiful book I've done in terms of the quality of the renderings, because it's just you're in nature and you're seeing so many beautiful things. So that's what I was inspired by, and I tried to bring as much of my training into developing a kind of a sense of beauty in those illustrations as I could. Then my most recent book is called Lucky the Adopted Dachshund, and this was the first book that I both authored and illustrated. The book is about Lucky, who's my mom's dog, and my mom, Alice Chelich, and she's had a lifelong love for dachshunds. And this particular one we got was adopted from Michiana Humane Society in Michigan City. And it also has our cat, Georgia, who was adopted from Munster's center. I don't think it's Humane Society, but it's an off branch of it. But in any case, the Lucky is a very fun dog, and I thought there was kind of a hook, if you would say, sure. When I was thinking about doing this myself. Doing a book about him, and it was just as actually the injuries that he first suffered before he ever came to be in our possession, and then from there, I developed the story from that point.
Excellent,
it's like he could bark. I mean, it would be like so. He's just so realistic. I'm looking at just even the image on my computer.
Right. Thanks.
Yeah. You're listening to WVLP's Art on the Air, 103.1 FM, and we're talking about Lucky, the adopted dachshund,
he's
with
adorable.
Michael Chelich, and he's brought that book along with him. You can also again see that at his website, the books, at least the covers of each one, and everything. And these books are available where?
Through Amazon.com.
Well, how about that? Everything's
right.
Available at Amazon.com, right. And maybe soon to be available at the Nest.
I hope that would be wonderful.
So, yeah. And I know you're going to have a book signing. We'll talk about later. So can you read us a passage from the book? Now, this is your first authorship besides actually doing that. So this is from Lucky, the adopted dachshund.
And this comes right when Lucky is brought to our house. He's introduced to a cat. That's Georgia, of course. And Georgia is a very sweet cat.
Oh, she's so adorable.
Yeah, we love her very much.
Oh, she's
but,
so adorable.
For the most part, she doesn't like other animals coming into her house.
Most cats don't.
Right, and other cats as well. So, inside the house, Lucky spotted Georgia, a large gray cat that was sitting at the edge of a couch like a queen upon her throne. Georgia glared down at Lucky as if to say, "What are you doing in my house, dog?" Needless to say, Georgia was not very happy with this new house guest. Since Lucky did not have much experience with cats, he figured that she'd be happy to be slobbered all over the face with smelly dog kisses. Who wouldn't be? Failing to take the hint from Georgia's glaring eye stare and tail flicking, he jumped up with his front paws on the couch, whining all the while in nervous anticipation. Georgia leaned forward, and then, whop! Georgia gave Lucky a good swat in the head as if to say, "Get away from me, dog." Well, Lucky was shocked. The slap in the head did not hurt Lucky's head so much as it hurt his feelings. Twisting his chin down and away from Georgia, he sadly turned and slowly walked back across the living room floor with his tail between his legs. Lucky had never had a cat friend before, nor did it look like he was about to have one now.
Well,
that's from Lucky.
Do they get better?
Yeah, we hope so. Well, see, that's the hook to get the book, right? Exactly.
So true.
Will Lucky get better? And with the cat, and you're going to be doing a book signing. Oh, you got one coming up right away, and then are you doing some other ones?
There's going to be a book signing at Michiana Humane Society in Michigan City, and it's going to be from 1 to 3 tomorrow, Saturday.
Okay, and that's the 21st for those of us who listen.
It is the
21st. So Saturday the 21st. So a lot of things going on, but you can get there
and
do that. And the books are on sale. I'm sure you'll get a wonderful autograph too.
And there will also be another one in Munster at the community park through PAWS.
Okay.
PAWS is hosting an event there. And it's going to be on the 28th, which is, again, on a Saturday.
Right.
You might need to go to their website. I don't have the times when that's going to be happening. But it'll be an outdoor event in the park there. So,
very, very good. And now, are your other books, they're available on Amazon. Do you take any of those other books along to autograph? Or you're right now focused on Lucky?
In this case, I'm needing to keep, the
focus
Lucky
on
book.
You. Sure.
Yeah, I think the Humane Societies want me to stay focused
just
on that book, so that's what I'm going to be doing. But I'll be looking for events in the future where I'll be traveling, to different schools to read to, you know, kids and mm-hmm. make them available through the public schools. So I should say that this book is actually a two-part book.
I was just going to bring that up.
So yeah, it ends on a cliffhanger. So the second part of the book will be coming up in hopefully in 2019. Unfortunately,
which we're running out of.
Yeah, we're running out of.
Yeah, right. excuse me. I should say 2020. That's
2020.
What I meant
there
to
you
say.
Go.
Yeah. The type of work I do involves a lot of time, and unfortunately, it ends up meaning that it takes longer to finish, you know, works like this. So that particular work won't come out for, well, probably till the end of 2020.
So the story's down, you just have to...
Yeah, I've got lots of it actually developed, and I've got illustrations, you know, finished. And I could almost say it's close to two-thirds done.
Oh, great.
But there's also, you know, once you're finished with the book, there's also like a process of combing through it, both, you know, artistically, but also on the writing. And I can't tell you how many changes I've had to make along the way, you know, not only to the artwork itself, you know, on the computer and Photoshop,
right.
but also to the writing. And both Jim Dworkin and David Russell, who's an English teacher, who was an English teacher at Munster High School, he especially combed through it and raked me through the coals on my grammar.
Like he was like your editor, so.
Oh, yeah. He got me good, and I was very happy for it. But
yeah, if anyone knows, by the way, and I work with Dave Russell for many years, he is really an English taskmaster. But what's funny is students years later come back and really appreciate him when they go through college and say, "Oh, Mr. Russell, you know, I know you were really hard on me in school, but thank you."
Yeah, yeah, it was excellent. So I was very fortunate to have had him do that type of work.
Yeah, so. And just so our listeners know, these books are not like the little tiny books. They're like what, about 8.5 by 11 or
right.
that size. Yeah. So they're really a nice size book with
to
the illustration.
Sit down with your
kids, yeah, and your grandkids and everything like that. So, you know, you can get really lucky if you break this book and everything. So book two is about two-thirds done. Mm-hmm. Are you thinking of making me a continuing series? I know you haven't got number two cranked out yet, but you think maybe this can be like a lucky series?
I don't know. I don't have plans for that.
Right.
And I think in order to continue doing works like this, there needs to be funding for it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to try to get through this last one.
Right.
And you know, hopefully somebody will see it and, you know, might be interested in that way. So.
Yeah, because I think Georgia's going, I think I need a book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that would be exactly. do you think, just like kind of a new direction you might be doing, maybe it's not, you won't continue with Lucky, but if you can do that, you have other ideas for maybe other directions for children's books? Is this like a new avenue for you?
Right. Well, I got on board with this because it was definitely an opportunity to still involve myself with more creative work.
Right.
I do enjoy doing the portrait work, but the opportunities for, you know, more creative interpretation are a little more limited.
Sure.
And I have a little more chance to do that with, you know, in just in coming up with interesting designs and coming up with facial expressions and body gestures that tell a story.
Right.
That's what, you know, I certainly enjoy doing. So I'll look for opportunities for this in the future, but it's not a certain path right now.
Right.
I certainly have enjoyed doing it.
And of course, your subjects in here don't necessarily sit and pose for you very much, do they?
Right, right. Yeah, and that was interesting. It's been an interesting part of it. I found the key to that was doing video.
Right.
Of the animals, you know, not trying to take stills of them, but taking videos of them, trying to get them in a general position that I wanted. And then, you know, trying to get somebody with that animal to move them in the places that I wanted to. Then you put it on video, and then you're able to go back in a video on the computer and slowly go through frame by frame and pick
sure.
the exact moment that you want as a reference. I should say that both my parents are in this most recent book as well, both Chuck and Alice, and my daughter, Aubrey.
Okay.
I'll be looking to include my wife in the second book.
So. Yeah, say, hey, honey, why am I not in the book?
You know? Right, right.
Now, does Lucky live with your parents?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Or your mom in this case. Unfortunately, Michael's father recently passed away, a wonderful man, mm-hmm. right? Just a sweetheart of a man. Yeah. And everything, you know, so, but yeah. So Lucky's still around. How old is Lucky?
Lucky is probably close to 11 years old now.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's getting older.
Yeah.
And, but he's still a little nutty, which is
sure.
what we'll love him for. And he's a very favorite dog of my mom's, so.
Very good. Well, we have about a minute and a half left here. Do you have any final thoughts on any other projects coming up or everything? And
Well, outside of this one, there's the possibility of working on a Supreme Court justice portrait, which I'm am having a agent, you know, try to wrestle down for
right.
me. And I think it was the people downstate were saw the last job I did with Brent Dixon, and they were interested in having me possibly do another one. So I'll keep my fingers crossed for that. But outside that, I'm keeping my my hopes kind of broad.
Yeah, so. There you go. I know you have work that's downstate in the, I don't know if it's in the governor's mansion or in the state capitol.
In the state capitol,
yeah.
Right, for both the governor's office yeah. That people can walk in into and see, and also for the court, but that might be a little more difficult to get into.
Right, yeah. Right. They're going to search you and make sure you're not doing anything nasty there.
Right, right.
Very good. Well, this has been very enjoyable today, Michael, and I think our audience really likes it. Give us the website one more time.
ChelichStudio.com.
And also your email.
MichaelChelich@hotmail.com.
And I'll have that link on the main page, so you click on Michael's picture there, and it will link you to that. So we really appreciate you coming in here for Art in the Air. You've been listening to Art in the Air. It's been Michael Chelich, and we've enjoyed this.
Yeah,
very interesting. The body of work you need to go take a look at. It's a great thing. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast at Monday at 5 p.m. Your hosts, Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. I always like to thank Greg Kovach.
Yeah, thank you, Greg.
VLP station manager helping us stay on the air and get on the air. Hey, our underwriters for the show again are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Project Grant, which is part of the National Endowment for the Arts. Next week, we will have the Larry Jensen and Mary Ann Pals. They'll be on there. They're having an exhibit coming up at the Chesterton Arts Center in October, but we're getting them on there just before that opens. They're going to talk about their variety of work. Hey, again, if you're interested in being a guest or send us information about your arts or arts-related event, exhibit, whatever, please email us, and Esther will really emphasize that, at artontheair@wvlp@gmail.com. So please email us so you can keep us up to date, and we keep our arts calendar going like we do.
Yeah,
so.
And I don't have to keep asking Larry, what's the password, because there's...
we're not using it. So anyway, we'll see you right here next week on 103.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a fabulous week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.